Interesting, the choir sang in the twinkling of an eye. Wayne sang, his eye is on the sparrow. And my message this morning is, open the eyes of your heart. May we pray. My Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful, beautiful place to be. Thank you for those that are here. Bless the message to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 1:18 says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. When getting an eye examined recently, a man said his doctor hauled out a piece of equipment he had never seen before. The doctor said, with this device, I can take a picture inside of the back of your eye, and more than that, I can tell the general health that you have. Interesting about eyes, you know that an eagle, the average eagle weighs about 10 pounds, but he has eyes as big as a human and can see 2 miles away, sometimes 8 times further than a human being is able to do that. It's very interesting that the lettuce has a head. Corn has ears, but potatoes have eyes. Do you know that some potatoes have like 10 eyes? And those eyes are like little buds that bud until more potatoes are produced. They have a vision for the future. Talking about eyes, our grandfather had a glass eye. And one day going out of the country, going into the city, he left the boys there at the farm and took out his glass eye and laid it on the table. Said, I'll be gone, but my eye will be watching everything you do, like to scare them half to death. But my Uncle Ed, that's always been a tease all of his life, like Pastor Billy, he put a hat over the eye and said, now he can't see us. I like the little story that Leonard gave to me, how that a plane had to land and they embarked, took off. All the people in there were going off of the plane, and the pilot went into the back and saw one lady that wasn't moving, found out that she was blind. And he said, can I help you get off the plane? No, she said, I don't need the brake, but maybe my dog will. So he took the dog. Imagine what those people felt like when the pilot came out with dark glasses and a seeing eye dog. Well, eyes are wonderful. You know, many things inside of us spiritually are like that which is physical. For the heart, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. The ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The mind, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. The mouth, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The stomach, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But we have eyes in our heart, and we need to use those. Life is full of surprises. The marriage, the money, the ministry, the miseries of life. Don't look at bad things, look at good things. That's what we need to do. Even our country sometimes gave out awards to Ellen DeGeneres. One state where because some wanted to worship stones or chickens, the principal had to remove the Ten Commandments. We think it's wrong to kill whales and destroy rainforests, and yet we kill millions of babies by abortion. If you looked at the problems of life, you can get discouraged. Look out, you get discouraged. Look in, you get depressed. Look ahead, you get doubt. But look up, and you'll have delight. Number one, open the eyes of your heart by looking back where you came from. That's gratification. He brought me up and he brought me out. Remember who you were, where you were, what you were doing before you got saved. A man had 22 workers in his company. He wanted to make a brochure and he wanted a picture of every one of them, but the pictures weren't coming in. So he warned them. If they're not in by next week, I'll put your high school picture or your driver's license picture in. All the picture came in that week. Where were we? We were bound by sin. That's where you were before you were saved. You were bound by selfishness, thinking only about yourself and not about God. You were bound by Satan. Some of you by alcoholism, drugs, nicotine, the fast track of life, the adultery, all the rest, the hatred. Thank God. Look back. It's gratification. That's where I was. But that's not where I am. Number two, look where you are now. Here am I, Lord. Look at where you are now. Number one, I am saved. Everybody say, I am saved. Remember when you got saved. What a day that was when the load was taken away. I'm not only saved, but I'm being sanctified. Now, sanctification is not a one-day thing. It's a progress in your life. And so don't give up on your husband, your children, your church. We're under construction. We're not only saved and sanctified, but we're satisfied. Garth Brooks had 134 concerts one year. When he was on 2020, he said, what would you tell your son? I would tell him, try to find happiness. Marilyn Monroe, they auctioned her dress that was worn at Kennedy's birthday party when she sang Happy Birthday, Mr. President, just sold for thousands of dollars. Her driver's license was sold for $3,000. But those who knew her best said she cried out for rest. You can't take anything with you. Someone just paid $1.5 million for a ruined violin that can't be played. Its value isn't in the musical ability, but it's history. It was played the last time, April 1912, by a doomed musician named Wallace Hartley, aboard the Titanic. He and his fellow musicians were playing Nearer My God to Thee as the vessel slipped beneath the ice northern Atlantic. Hartley's body was recovered 10 days later with a violin strapped to him, but he could not take it with him. No, we are saved, sanctified, satisfied, but we are secure in Christ. I've got internal security, eternal security. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Number three, look at where you could have been. That's information. Number one, you could have been dead. Some of you, the way you were living, you could have already died. How many are all here? You may not be all there, but you're all here, okay? We could have been dead. You could have had a dreaded disease that you haven't had. You could have been divorced. Some of you did. Some of you haven't. One lady said to her husband, why don't you love me like that man does on TV? He said, he gets paid to do that. Also, you could have been deformed. You know, Johnny Erickson writes in her book, When God Weeps, talks about her camps of handicap, that she got a letter of registration from Carla. And this is what it said. My name is Carla. I'm a diabetic. Both of my legs have been amputated. One finger has been cut off. My liver is bad. I've had a kidney transplant, and I'm legally blind. Johnny Erickson said, I've got to meet this gal when she comes. And I said, how could you smile and come in your condition? Oh, she said, I needed to come before I lost more body parts. You see, you know, Jesus is so wonderful to me. Number four, look at where you could have gone. That's preservation. Hell has enlarged itself. I don't doubt that somebody here this morning might have already been in hell. Do not look pious and haughty. We're all hell-bound sinners. We were all as bad as any bourbon-breathed beast with dirty clothes and sunken eyes. Some of us could have already been in hell. What's hell like? Decay, treasures that turn to trash. dreariness, continual monotony, dryness, no water, dark, no light, no doors that are unlocked, deaf ears to prayer. It's a terrible thing to be lost. Black Jack, the murderer, before being hanged, said, "I'll be in hell before breakfast, so let her rip." Lytton Stratcher said, "If this is death, I don't think very much of it." Henry Ward Beecher said, "Here comes the mystery." Beethoven said, the deaf composer said, "At death, I will hear again." A comedian said, "Applaud now, the comedy is over." Think of it. Lost in hell. But I want to emphasize this. Look at where you are going. That's reservation. Couple's traveling along and they got pulled over by the police. The lady was driving and the police said, "Why are you driving so fast?" And the man in the passenger seat said, "We're driving as fast as we can to get to where we're going before we forget where we're going." One man was preparing to go to heaven. He was a pastor. He lived for the Lord all of his life, but he's on his deathbed. And he called two people to come to visit him. One was the IRS agent. The other was a lawyer. And they said, "Why did you ask us to come on your deathbed? You never have liked us." "Well," he said, I've been living for Jesus. Now I want to die like Jesus. He died between two thieves." We're going to heaven. The largest private home in the world is more than 2 million square feet. 1,718 rooms. 257 bathrooms. 5 swimming pools. 110 car garage. An air-conditioned stable for 200 ponies. A banquet hall. An auditorium seating 1,500 people. And it costs $1.8 billion to build in the 1980s. But I've got news for you, my friend. I'm going to a place that's worth a lot more than that. I'm going to walk on gold. How about you? I'm going to breathe celestial air. How about you? I'm going to see the angels of God. Everybody said amen to that. I'm going to see Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Yes. Revelation 21:4, there'll be no more pain. Somebody called me on the phone this week and said, "Why is there pain?" I want to tell you, one of these days there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, for the former things have passed away. Again, may I quote from a book that I wrote about heaven? The people who live in heaven never get tired. They carry no burdens and they never grow old. No one ever says goodbye. You'll never see a cemetery. The flowers never lose their fragrance. There are no hurricanes or tidal waves. There are no germs. It's never too hot or too cold. Doors do not need to be locked. And windows, no bars. Leprosy, cancer, and palsy are words never heard. No beggars are seen on the streets. No graveyards will dot the hillsides or clouds mar the sky. No dark alleys, no footprints of Satan, no dropping tears or drooping shoulders. You'll never see a broken bone, a blind ear, a blind eye, a deaf ear, a crippled limb, or a damaged brain. You'll never hear a cursing word, a lonely cry, a falling bomb, or a firing gun. You'll never know a distant friend, a fearful enemy, or a worthless hour. You'll never need a bottle of pills, a prescription, medicine, doctors, or hospitals. No income tax, property tax, excise tax, sales tax. You'll never wish you were somewhere else than someone else. We are going to heaven. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We're going there. There was a huge funeral being held in Washington, D.C. The president was there and dignitaries from all around the world. They were there to memorialize John Howard Payne, who had served the country. But more than that, they remember a song that he wrote. "Mid pleasures and palaces, though I may roam, be it ever so poor. There's no place like home. Quanda had spent several days at Virginia Mason Hospital. I had gone from Arlington to Seattle day after day after day, and one day the doctor said, I'm gonna let her go home for Christmas. And what a day that was on Christmas Eve day. When I walked down the hallway to the bedroom, she flung herself on the bed. She cried out, it's so wonderful to be home at Christmas. And I turned on the television, and there Barbara Mandrell was singing, I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. What a day that's going to be. We're going to heaven. A man worked on the railroad, and he would, every time he said I would take that last bend on my way home, I would look up on the green hillside, and I would see that white cottage, and my mother and dad were up there. And when they would see the train come, they would get up from their chair and say, oh, thank God, my son is safe home tonight. By and by, my father died, and now all I could see is my mother up there. But now they're both gone. But one day he said, I'm going to take the last bend on the track of time. And my mansion is going to be there. My mother and father are going to say, thank God, my son is safe home tonight. We're going home. You see, when this soul of yours down inside of you departs from this flesh, you're going somewhere. I ask you this question, where will you go when death comes? Are you ready for heaven because you've accepted Christ? Or is there anyone here tonight, today, that's not sure you're saved? On your way to hell. I was thinking the other week, do we really believe what the Bible says? I'm working on a sermon entitled, Can I Trust My Bible? Do you believe everything the Bible says? Sin, the cross, heaven and hell? If we don't believe what the Bible says, might as well shut off the lights and bolt the doors and go home. But if we do believe it, what are we doing about it? Some of these seats could have been filled with some visitors that you invited and brought to church. You see, you can't catch fish where there are no fish in the river. How shall they hear without a preacher? What are we doing? Do you have some great grandparents that are almost in eternity and they're not saved? Do you have a grandmother? Do you have a mother or father that's lost? Do you have a husband or wife that's lost? Do you have a son or daughter that's lost? They died, they go to hell. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, your family, your neighbor. Do you know who I'm talking about today? It's without God and without hope. Not to put a guilt trip on you, but to let you know that you have the wonderful story to tell to people about Jesus. And I ask you the question, are you doing that? Don't pass up the opportunity. And then I say to you that are watching around the country, where are you going? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? There's no third place. There's only two places, heaven or hell. I want to tell you that you can know that you're going to heaven. How do I do that? Acknowledge that you're a sinner because all of us have sinned. Remember that he died for you, bled and died on the cross for you. Confess your sin. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. He will come in and change your life. And you can know you're on your way to heaven without a doubt in your mind. Pray this prayer with me. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for my sins. I know that I have failed. Come into my heart. I receive you as the only way of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Nobody leaving the auditorium, please. This holy moment, everybody's standing. Standing on your feet everywhere, if you will. How many can say, I know by God's grace, if I were to die today, I know I'm on my way to heaven? Put your right hand up if you're sure of that today. Anyone here that could not leave?